Tracy Norman, the singer there, with Je te veux, I want you, music by Erik Satie. Now, most of us know something about this composer, that song, and of course his limpid, languid piano pieces, the Gymnopédies and the Noisiem, and that he was a bit of an eccentric. Opinion is still divided, however, as to whether Satie was a great music pioneer or a total lightweight. Tackling Erik Satie here today, oh, well, not literally, that'd be football, but the metaphorical tackler is Richard Chu. Richard's the music director of Various People Inc. This is an Adelaide music and theatre group, and their show The Velvet Gentleman, The Odd Story of Erik Satie, opened in Adelaide last night as part of the 2012 Adelaide Cabaret Festival. Welcome to the music show, Richard.
Hello, good morning.
Now, one might at first think, what's Erik Satie doing in a cabaret festival? What was his involvement with cabaret?
Well, as I understand it, he was a cabaret pianist quite early on in his career at the Chat Noir in Montmartre. And, you know, so he met a lot of the cabaret artists that were around at the time. He actually, I believe, thought that it was quite a vulgar art form.
Isn't it?
Yeah. And he wrote very well for it, though, you know. But I mean, you know, his cabaret songs, I think, are really accomplished, you know.
Was there a political nature to the cabaret in Paris at this time, you know, late 19th, early 20th centuries? Or is this something that we impose back on it and imagine today?
Well, I think we sort of have imposed a little bit on that in that, you know, once it gets sort of transported to Berlin and so on later on, I think it becomes much more political. But, you know, there's a sense of anti-establishment about it right from the very beginning. I mean, you know, it's red light district music.
Yeah.
So the whole point of it, I think, is that it's the underbelly of society that it's representing, I think.
Quite a bit of Erik Satie's other music was making a statement in a way. I mean, he was against German romanticism in music, for example, loathed that. He was also something of a kind of prototype dadaist, I think. How did that express itself in his music? Because he did do some pretty kooky stuff.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, well, it starts with titles, I think. So he writes pieces like, you know, Three Flabby Preludes for a Dog, pieces in the form of a pair. And, you know, he knew all of these guys. He knew Man Ray. He knew a lot of, and in fact, Man Ray takes one of Satie's ideas, which is, you know, I'm not a musician, I'm a phonematographer. People will tell you I'm not a musician. And Man Ray actually stole that idea from Satie and made it into his own text. So he became a sort of darling of the Dada movement, and they sort of accepted him as their sort of bona fide musician, really.
And that really kooky ballet that he did, Relâche.
Yeah, oh, well, that's wonderful. I mean, the first night the theatre was closed, which, of course, is what it means. So people turned up for the first performance and the theatre was closed. Yes. Relâche was written on the door. So, you know, and he, yeah, exactly. And he appears on stage in a little tiny automobile, a little Citroen, I think, with Picabia, the fella he collaborated with, and holding this placard saying Erik Satie is the greatest composer in the world. You know, so, yeah, it's a political statement. Very anti-establishment person, really.
What about Satie the man? Now, we played his song, Je te veux, I want you. As I understand it, though, Satie only ever had one short relationship in his life, one girlfriend. So whoever he wanted in that song, he probably didn't get.
Indeed, yeah. So there's only one relationship that we know about, which is Suzanne Valadon, the painter, who the mother of Maurice Utrillo. Very famous artist. And, you know, they were together for 6 months. I think it was very torrid. I think it certainly was an absolutely beautiful love affair as far as Satie was concerned. And, you know, it ended. And typically he makes this sort of wonderful statement about it ending, which is sort of masking his own feelings. He says, I threw her from a second story window. Luckily, her training as a circus acrobat allowed her to escape serious injury. So this is Satie all over. You know, he makes light of something that is really hurting him.
He had chums, though. I mean, you mentioned Man Ray. He was friends with Debussy and Cocteau and Picasso. Do you have any sense of what they thought of him, what sort of a friend he was?
I think they absolutely adored him. He was so much his own creation. I think, you know, that, you know, he really stood apart from all of the stuff that they were, I think, trying to kind of, in a way, deal with in their own work. So, you know, he collaborates with Picasso. Cocteau was a great friend. Made a beautiful sketch of Satie as well, which is one of the most famous drawings of the man. So, I mean, they all knew one another. I think they were all really on the same page in terms of what they were trying to do, how they were trying to, in a way, reinvent French music as well. That sort of collaboration with Debussy is very important because they met every Friday for something like 20 years.
Wow.
You know, so they were great friends. But, you know, there was a sense in which Debussy certainly just didn't get Satie at all. He orchestrates the Gymnopédie for him as a gift. But is sort of mystified really at the end of his life by Satie's sudden success and sort of entry into the mainstream, I think, really.
Well, some of Satie's personal eccentricities included that he always wore a grey velvet suit, hence the title of your show, The Velvet Yes. Gentleman. He only ate white food, and he lived in the same one-room apartment in Paris for 27 years, but it's said that no one ever visited him there, despite those friendships. What was he hiding in that apartment?
Abject poverty. He made virtually no money throughout his entire life. He had nothing. So he never took anybody back there because there was nothing to... Well, that is the naked self, really.
Yes.
That's what we're looking at in the show. There's a beautiful description of Darius Milhaud, who became one of Satie's executors after his death, entering this room that nobody had gone into. And he said it's with a sense of awe that we approached it after Satie died. And we couldn't believe it. We couldn't believe that he had nothing.
He did have about 100 umbrellas, though, didn't he? And weren't there... I'm sure I've read a story about how there were two... He had two pianos, one on top of the other.
Yes, that's right. Neither of which worked.
Hmm.
I think they were both broken. One had its pedals tied together with string. But yeah, nothing worked. You know, piles of newspapers everywhere. And the most beautiful thing was a cigar box full of something like 4,000 pieces of paper where he'd made these exquisite drawings and texts. So a lot of what we know about him is from that cigar box, really.
So, Richard, what's your assessment of Eric Satie's music and ideas? Was he a lightweight or was he a giant?
For me, he was a giant. I think the fact that he worked in miniature a lot of his life, but also that the music has this wonderful distance on it, which indeed the modernists sort of took on. You know, look at Cage, look at Andreessen, look at Gavin Bryars, look at a lot of composers who've, in a way, taken this aesthetic and run with it. Fantastic. You know, he influences Debussy to turn away from the kind of symbolist Wagnerian side of his work in Pelléas and Mélisande and create a sort of uniquely French music. You know, so he's behind the scenes with all of this, but the music itself is absolutely exquisite. I mean, people just love it. Not just the Gymnopédie, but the pieces are wonderful to play. He was maybe not a great pianist himself, but neither was Ravel, you know.
Well, he didn't have a piano that worked.
Exactly, yeah. So he composes at night on his, you know, 10-mile walk or whatever it is to this little kind of suburb.
And The Velvet Gentleman, the odd story of Eric Satie, after opening last night at the Adelaide Cabaret Festival, has just two more performances in this very short Cabaret Festival season, tonight and tomorrow night at 6:45pm at the Art Space in the Adelaide Festival Centre. Richard Chu is the musical director and pianist for The Velvet Gentleman, and a pleasure to have you join us here on The Music Show, Richard.
Thank you very much.